Can you hear us, Story Midnight?
I can hear you.
That's great. Tell us about the beverage that you have in your hand so we can see the levels here.
Okay, so I'm drinking a ginger. I brewed some grated ginger, and then I put some fresh turmeric in and a dollop of honey that has a little bit of propolis in it with lemon. It's like bright, looks like pollen. It looks like I'm drinking like pollen juice.
You have an appropriate beverage for colony collapse disorder.
I'm getting ready to swarm, you know.
Welcome to the show, Dory. Who are you, Dory Midnight? Why are you here?
Or there, shall we say.
Hi, Ryder.
Hi, Dory.
Well, I'm here. I love the bees, and I work with their products, and I'm really inspired by their existence in my life and the work that I do, which is being a kitchen witch and a community educator and doing community and folk healing. So the model of the bees, by using their medicine and taking that medicine inside of our bodies, it makes it almost easier to understand and model our own communities on parts of the way that they shape their community.
That's such a nice way of perhaps swarming or departing from more standard medicine, Western medicine, or just pharmaceutical medicine, kind of swarming back to a more kind of naturalistic and holistic approach.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the bees are all over and around you in your ways, Dory, because you're saying that they're both a model, but also that you're putting their products in your body as part of your vision for this swarming or new hive includes their participation in production. Is that part of what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the bees?
Where are they?
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything that we take into our bodies affects us, and whatever it is that we're bringing into our bodies, the way that it's produced, we're sensitive creatures, just like the bees are. And in a way, all of us creatures are all in this big hive together. It's not just humans. And so when I imagine the swarm, when I envision the swarm, it's with participation with all of the beings, with invisible and visible beings, with four-legged and antennaed beings, with babies and elders. And because of that, in terms of doing healing work, for me, what that means is that we have to be aware of our collective health. And I think that the bees have that in mind, too. Definitely. That the way that they take care of themselves and each other in a really kind of seamless way, in a way that just, like, makes sense. And it's almost, I mean, I don't know, because I put all of my human ideas of what the bees are doing. I can't always think like a bee, I don't think, but I try to just by taking in what they make. And it seems to me like there's a practicality to just maintaining collective health, and then in a way that the swarm is sort of a kind of collective liberation.
You know, this makes me wonder, it's a bit of a tangent, but I notice a lot of animals living more in amidst humans in more urban settings, resorting to actually eating a lot of kind of junk food like that becoming a part of their diet. Mm-hmm. And then watching them almost begin to choose that food as opposed to what might have been their food choices before. The junk food. And I'm wondering about honeybees. Perhaps E.E. knows about this, or you might know about it, Dory. I know that yellow jackets will, like if you're having a picnic, they'll go and land on a piece of meat or a bologna or some junk food and try and eat it. But I don't know if honeybees will do that, or if they're like more purists. Are they vegetarians or flowertarians?
I wonder if any of the beekeepers out there listening have seen bees on bologna. I myself have not. I've fed bees refined bleached processed sugar.
They'll eat the sugar. That's, I guess, in a way a junk food.
And there are many beekeepers who feed their bees corn syrup.
Right, right.
Which is most likely a GMO corn. Mm.
Mm-hmm. But corn syrup. In that case, the bees are not choosing it. They're actually being fed this by the beekeeper.
Yes, although, I mean, there is some choice. My bees currently have some sugar syrup in their hives, and there's so much amazing nectar and pollen out in the world that they aren't interested. And if there is other natural material out there, they won't touch mm-hmm. what you feed them. You feed them to make sure they don't starve when there mm-hmm. are dearths, or to encourage them to take medicine that you want them to take.
Well, that's great to know that the bees will choose the other sweet things.
But maybe they haven't tasted bologna, so who knows where that will go. Dory, what are some of the things that you have this vision of community health? What are some of the things you do as an educator and kitchen witch towards community health and community, you know, swarming into health?
I teach kids to identify plants and creatures around here. I teach them to eat weeds that they find, like the bees. I teach them about, you know, using resources that are growing all around them. And I teach them just the kind of, we do a lot of meditation and visualization. So a lot of resourcing their inner world and loving and making a lot of field, just rich field for their imaginations. And then having them really be able to source them as much as they would the book learning or the math or language arts or science that they're learning, that the imagination gets to be sort of as validated as those things too. And to me, that's really important for collective health, that for one, it's planting a little seed that underneath it is this belief that we have everything that we need, and that undoing the spell or the idea that the invisible or the magical is not real, and that you give that up when you grow up. And I think to take it really seriously in kids is training them to be good humans and good stewards and good citizens and good participants who can also see the value that the invisible has or the magical has, or to feel a kind of kinship or family feeling about animals and plants and magical creatures. So I teach kids that, and we make magic wands and we make potions. And with the potion making, what it is helping them identify what's going on with themselves, like having self-awareness. They feel sad about their family, or they feel isolated, or they have a hard time focusing. And they identify those things in themselves, and then they make magic potions out of flower essences and plants and herbs and gems. Part of my work with working with kids like that, I do similar stuff with adults, is that teaching them that they don't have to go to a doctor all the time, and that honestly and usually, like, we're the best experts on our emotional and sometimes even our physical health, even though we might not know. We might not have the same language as an allopathic medical model, but our language, to value our language about our own health, what it feels like, rather than taking on a language that is oftentimes really harmful or oppressive and has often been used to marginalize people. So I do that with kids, and then with adults, I teach meditation and magic, and I do rituals and ceremonies, and I work a lot with activists and people who are doing healing work, and I really see activists as doing healing work.
Really inspiring, Dory. I have this image of all of this cluster of bees loading up on honey in preparation for the journey. And I also see some of this as relating to the particular worker bees who are doing, who are scouting. There's the foraging happening, and then there's also the scouting, flying around and looking, many of them in all different directions to identify the home of the future.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give our listeners a little bit of time to think about all the ideas that you've shared, and we're going to listen to some music that comes from the part of this land from where you're calling, and then we'll come back and talk to you some more.
Right now in the Radio Hive, we're pushing a lot of buttons, trying to make some radio magic music happen. While EE is masterminding that, Dori, what could you tell us about perhaps a ceremony or a ritual that you've conducted recently that just was somehow very phenomenal or symbolic to you? Or particularly related to bees in any way?
Think on that for a second.
She has it. Sometimes magic takes a long time.
We need a spell. Yeah.
We need a spell right now.
Okay. to make music happen?
Yeah. What do you recommend for that? Ah, Tori, you did it.
Are you coming soon to carry me away? Love and rage, what's been making me to stay?
colony collapse disorder, extended swarming beginning. We're back. Thanks, Dory, for the spell.
Really worked. Dory's spells always work.
So we just heard the quails doing Shine a Light. Also, they were in the Bay Area when they made that album.
Mm-hmm.
And we also heard from Mira and Ginger singing Rock of Ages. And we're talking about, what are we talking about? We're talking about community health and swarming and spells and rituals. I was having a fantasy that maybe you could, writer had asked you to describe a ritual or spell that you've participated in recently. And I was having thoughts at the same time that maybe you could help us with some kind of meditation. Coast-to-coast meditation to get us into at least moving in the direction of the swarm mind.
That's even better than talking about a ritual as having one.
I don't know.
That's really what you wanted.
Yeah. I forgot that you can do these things from far away.
Mm-hmm.
We have time for all that, and we also... You are a maker of potions with bee products, so I thought also that it would be great for you to share some recipes. So we're throwing a million options and requests your way, and we can sort through them together.
Great. All of those things sound delicious. Well, I could start by telling you that, you know, I was actually listening to a radio show you might know of called Colony Collapse Disorder Radio. And I was listening to the Super Sisters show and listening to everybody talk about fertility and reproduction. And something, it's interesting, you know, I see people one-on-one to do magic and healing. And it always seems like every month there's like a theme that everybody who comes to me seems to fit into this one theme. I mean, it's not always a month, but it's like a time where it seems like really similar things are going on for people. And this past month, I have been, and maybe it's because it's springtime, and so there is the like pollination and blossoming in the air. But I had this sense that a lot of people were going through, you know, in ancient archetypes, we have maiden, mother, and crone times of our lives. And I felt like I was seeing a lot of people who were in this transitional place of mother and what it means to be, to me, like I was noticing it's hard to figure out how to be in that mother role as queers or as people who live our lives really non-conventionally. Our paths are... We don't have a lot of models in front of us about healthy ways to mother, and we live in a pretty misogynist culture where mothering and mothers aren't honored in any real way. So I've been thinking a lot, this isn't a ritual or ceremony that I have done, but I've been thinking a lot about creating some kind of ritual or ceremony to honor being in a mother place or a transition from maidenhood to, I feel like people in my life and the people that I come into contact with, like I feel like we can really hold maiden energy and we can really hold crone energy. We're like all baby grandmas. We can stay up all night and in our little teenage queer communities, we remain kind of adolescent and playful and really maiden-like for a long time. And we have lots of lovers and we live that way, and then we also have this kind of like wisdom, and we knit things like that, that we bring in that crone energy. But then it seems like there's this ambivalence about the mother part, and part of that might be that a lot of us are choosing to not bring a child into our womb and bring it out into the world in that literal sense. And the ambivalence manifests in all these different ways. And there's this confusion about self-sacrifice, which is a really big part of motherhood. and choosing to not be self-sacrificial. And yet there is something about being in a community and bringing something to birth that is, it's important to understand how to sacrifice something or understand loss or have the experience of letting go, all those things that motherhood encompasses. So something that's been on my mind is for my communities that I'm in is creating some kind of ritual for all of us to step into a mother role in whatever constellation and shape and vision that we have. That's a thing that we're swarming to is being at this time. You know, and I know not everybody listening is at this time in their life. There's probably lots of crones and maidens listening too. Asking ourselves how, in what way are we mothers? And when I say mother, you know, I mean, I'm talking in the most broadest, every gendered, all gendered way. So that's something that's been on my mind, and it was interesting to listen to how much that comes up too, just talking about the bees and reproduction and roles of mothers and sisters. And
it's an unusual, it's a very different kind of model, just trying to understand what's happening in the hive, that there's really, really intense, concentrated reproduction happening that's necessary for the survival of the hive. Mm-hmm. Thousands of eggs every day. But that the little chicken, the so-called queen, who's collected multiple sources of sperm and who's laying the eggs is not connected to the care, the care in that more conventional sense of care, you know, the feeding and grooming and cleaning and ensuring the growth of the babies, the next generation. So, yeah, it's interesting to try to pry the notion of mothering and mother from our particular cultural baggage around it.
Mm-hmm. I think also if you look at the bees and you think about mothering and also look at the queen, even though she lays the eggs, she doesn't really do the nurturing in the hive. It's actually the workers who nurture the queen and the workers nurture each other. So all the divisions are a lot different there. And
even the idea of nurturing, the scouts are nurturing.
Yeah.
The undertakers, the bees who are removing the dead from the hive, are doing a kind of a nurturing. It's also, it seems like, Dory, you're suggesting in a way that just kind of really redefining what that is, to the extent that there's a place, there's a nurturing, a necessary nurturing or mothering behavior for all roles, mm-hmm. for all participants.
I think also I'm just envisioning that really channeling the bees might be a good part of the spell of accepting and moving into the role of the mother, thinking about just breaking away from our misogyny that we have in our culture and our ways of looking at mothers and just thinking about the bees and all the ways that the workers are the mothers. And yeah, we should channel them in the spell.
Should we take another short musical break? Should we try?
Yeah, we could try, and then we could have a recipe.
That sounds good. Will you gather your recipes while we, and also silently spell us towards music?
Yes, and silently spelling us towards music right now.
Okay, thanks. So the spell is happening right now as I speak, the spell into the music, and you can bring plants to plant or special wishes that you want to make, because we will be making wishes as we plant our plants at the Wish Garden.
Heaven is of honey and kisses. Bees work blossom channels. How do I know? How could I forget? Heaven is in the making. Remains unfinished. Possibility. If there's a glimpse of it in the little dance of dance, as a reminder. Just waste space in case I wake up without a pen. I do not want to forget. That heaven is of honey and kisses, royal jelly for the queen bee in the center. How do I know? How could I forget?
You're listening to Colony Collapse Disorder Radio. We have a special guest on the phone from San Francisco, California, helping us transition into the final theme.
Swarming.
We haven't even really talked about what really it is.
No, but let's finish talking to Dory more first.
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, I got us
we'll
in a direction.
We'll tell you in a minute.
I'm Let's talk Zenda to Newbottom. Heaven is of honey. Dory.
Yes.
Do you have a recipe?
Oh, yes. I have some. I have many recipes.
Yay.
I think that, I mean, I use a lot of honey. I wash my face with honey. That's what I use to wash my face with. And so here's one recipe, which is put honey on your face right before you get in the bath or shower, and it's really sticky, and then you just kind of pat it on, and as you pat it, your face gets, like, less and less sticky, and honey is antibacterial and antiviral and antifungal, and it's a circulatory stimulant, and, I mean, there's, like, nothing better that you could put on your body than honey. And if you want to, you can mix it with, like, a ground-up oats or delicious oils or whatever. You could just use straight honey, and you just keep it on for as long as you want, and it gets meltier and meltier until it's kind of liquidy. And then you wash it off, and people will be wanting to kiss your face all the time. So that's one really simple recipe for honey. Another great honey recipe.
Until I get to San Francisco to try that.
Okay.
Another really good, so if we're talking about community health and keeping our bodies really healthy, one of my favorite recipes is honey onions. And so, like, if you start to feel like you're getting, like, a scratchy throat or everyone around you is dripping with a cold or flu, you can slice up an onion really thin and put it in a bowl. You could just use a half an onion or a whole onion, and then just cover it with honey. Cover the sliced onion with honey and put a little cloth over it and leave it there overnight. And then in the morning, you have candied onions. And you can either just use the honey. You know, you could just have a spoonful of that honey every couple of hours or whenever you want. Or you can eat the onions, or you could drink it. You could, like, put it in hot water or tea or something. And, like, the combination of the onions and the honey together basically are like the best immune defense that you could ever wish for. And it's so simple and pretty cheap.
I'm getting now more the gist of the kind of education exercises and skills that you're sharing with the children that you were describing before. So it's not necessarily identifying the special but process alternative medicine product that you can go buy at the health store. It's actually foraging in the fridge or foraging in the yard and finding the everyday items and weeds and making medicines with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's out of control.
Mm-hmm. We have everything we need, and it's part of being in a really consumery land and air. The air is, like, full of, you know, even the idea of, like, holistic health is bought and sold, you know? And it really is, we have everything we need in our kitchen shelves. The grandmas have always known that. And, you know, it seems like part of swarming is, you know, as we fill ourselves up with honey, we're just, like, filling ourselves up with the things that we already have, the things that we made.
That is what the bees do.
Yeah. So we don't need to go to external sources to heal.
The other thing that's really deep to me about that, thinking about that metaphor and filling up, is the way that the swarm is this, has become in human imagination this thing to be feared. It's the mob, mass of bees that are coming to hurt the humans, when actually the bees' bellies are so full of the honey that they've produced, of the resources that they need to make the new, to take with them to make the new home, that they are physically unable to sting, and they couldn't have less interest in human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Which seems so, it's in this weird way, this taking it further, that you're talking about empowering people, helping people find the resources that exist already, and that that there is a lot of fear does circulate around,
mm-hmm.
Is it okay for people to feel strong or feel like they have what they need?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a really dangerous idea. I don't know.
Yeah. People with honey on their faces eating onions, it's scary. It's scary and radical and subversive. I mean, it's, you know, it's funny. It's like, it's amazing. It, I think in a way it shows us how far away we've gotten from that, covering onions with honey and eating that as medicine. I mean, like, there's this way that even when I do it, I'm like, oh, well, this won't work, but there's always antibiotics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, these things really work. I mean, this is, like, how people have stayed healthy for a really long time. And, I mean, and it's not just, like, this historical, like, back then it was better. It's like, you know, this is, it makes sense. It makes sense with our bodies, you know, to have our food be our medicine and, like, not live in, like, a heroic model, you know. And so, it, you know, like, learning about weeds and healing ourselves in our kitchens, it is radical and subversive, and it's like simple and practical, and it's great because, you know, as I teach people, it's like there's everybody's in it for a different reason. Some people are like, this is my activism, you know, this is my politics. And some people are like, oh my God, it's cheap, and now I don't have to buy cold medicine, you know. And some people are like, oh, it's magic to work with the energy of bees and honey, and it's magic to be able to spellcraft your own medicines, and all of that's true.
How do we create the space? This seems like this transition is about how we together can create space enough to even imagine this fantastical swarming movement, mm-hmm. where all these different elements and tools are in communication and individuals are in communication with each other and moving and dancing around and searching.
Well, you know, I mean, I think it seems like the idea of being full is really important. So, and I think because we tend to be such a hyper-mediated people and we're outside of ourselves a lot in our talk and we take in a lot of information but not necessarily in a way that fills ourselves up, like, I guess there's this way that the transition, like the beginning of the transition has to be that we're full and that we feel healthy and whole in ourselves and that we don't leave anybody behind, holding the idea that as we fill ourselves up, and because bees communicate in vibratory ways, the same way that tuning forks work, that as we fill ourselves up and we get more whole and everybody around us, whatever you want to call it, like the tuning forks operate on vibration too. So that we're all getting to the most whole, the most gorgeous, the most visionary buzz.
I get confused in thinking about wholeness and equating it to fullness and feeling. Sometimes I feel like fullness is such a kind of idea, a kind of consumeristic idea, and then there's this kind of counterpoint of emptiness, which would be maybe a kind of meditative mind where you want to be empty.
But consumerism is about never being full, like you're never full enough. There's never enough. It's not enoughness.
That's a good point.
But I hear what you're saying there. It's not so dichotomous.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Dory.
Yeah, it's not, and it's not full of something. It's not, you know, I mean, I think like with the bees, like they are eating, and they're eating from their own source, though, you know, in the same way that we can in a really invisible way. So, like, just for me, like, something that I do every morning and that I teach the kids to do is just, like, it is an emptying. It's an emptying. It's, like, imagining ourselves as hollow bones or as trees or being able to empty out all of the crap and the, you know, the stuff that isn't good for us, mm-hmm. that we're filled up with and filling up with whatever is. For the bees, like the honey, their essence or their goldenness or light or something, mm-hmm. that is sustaining and nourishing, and that's not necessarily like gorging ourselves on, for us, it's not gorging ourselves on honey, you know?
Yeah.
And so closing your eyes and laying on the ground, or even for those of us who live in cities, believing that we still have everything we need, you know, that we don't have to have this consumerist idea, too, of, like, we have to get out into the country in order to be okay or to be whole or whatever. Like, just knowing that our roots can move through cracks in the sidewalk and pull up what we need, you know, and be connected to the dandelions and the hardy urban plants. And
that's a really beautiful vision.
Yeah.
Some really amazing images and ideas to chew on and buzz around as we head out to our ongoing swarming, gathering movement.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dori.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Maybe you could come back to the swarm show in the fall, and we could talk about the fall time swarming activities.
Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, we would love to post some of your recipes and your ideas, meditation ideas, ritual ideas on our blog place.
We'll put any links you want up on there too. So our blog is colonycollapsedisorder.wordpress.com, and we have been speaking with the fabulous Dori Midnight from San Francisco. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dori.
For being with us.
Thank you.
Do you have a final thing, departing words that you want to say?
Or a sound you want to make? Free form. Radio.
I would just say, you know, stick your face in the flowers and breathe it in. And, like, really, my favorite thing to do is just to feel, like, really feel into that exchange that we're doing with the plants all the time of, like, our little cycle that we're making with them of oxygen and carbon dioxide, and just find a leaf or find a piece of grass or find a weed and just sit and breathe with it.
We're going to be doing just that at the Sanctuary for Independent Media from 3 to 6 this afternoon. Maybe you can come, Dori.
I'll be there. I'm going to fly over now on my broomstick.
Excellent. We'll see you there in 1 hour.
Okay.
Take care, Dori.
You too.
Bye.
Bye.
We're going to be transitioning to another show in just a minute. And we want to tell you that this is the final show of Colony Collapse Disorder Radio for this academic box of time. Mm-hmm. And we'll be returning in the fall with some more CCD radio. And instead of doing a 1-2-hour show on swarm, I think we're going to stay with the swarming for as long as we need to get things happening. Mm-hmm. And we thank all of you for calling in and giving us feedback. All of the shows become podcasts that are available on the blog, and we welcome your feedback and ideas, and we've really enjoyed our time here.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much to all of our participants.
Thank you.